Scott Shields is with us now. Scott is the director or assistant director of operations residential life at Northwest Missouri State University. Scott, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to have you here. Well, tell us about the Office of Residential Life. Let's begin there. What's that about?
Sure. At the most basic level, we're the department that puts the roof over the students' heads who choose to live on campus. We operate a variety of residence halls, suites, and apartments for students. We've got a little over 90% of our incoming freshmen live on campus, and then after that, it's their choice. But we actually just finished our room selection process for spring, and we've got our numbers are up a little bit for students wanting to come back for another year, so that tells us we're doing something right.
Do you think that overall, even by the senior year, you still have a lot of students staying in the residence halls?
I think as the natural progression of the college career, by the time that students are reaching that senior year, they're wanting to move off campus. That's normal. But our system is actually designed to facilitate that transition. When our freshmen come in, it's more of your standard two-person room. You've got the roommate, but then once you get to your junior and senior years, our housing is designed more where the bathroom is actually in the room. There's more opportunity to have a bedroom to yourself. In your senior year, we've got full-on apartments if you choose to stay with that, with kitchens and no required meal plans. And so it just kind of, we slowly progress you towards what it's like living off campus. So at which point you decide to make the jump is up to you, I guess.
Are there particular events or other things that are going on in the residence halls that people need to know about?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things that we have going on is our academic living communities. And these are set on different themes. Different academic programs. So we have floors that cover agricultural sciences, communication and mass media, natural sciences, math and statistics, business, computer science, honors floor, elementary and special education, and health sciences and wellness. And so our students who live on these floors, they tend to be a little more successful. They tend to stick to be more successful academically.
How does that work? What do you think is at work there that when they're sort of with other like-minded,
sure.
It sort of makes sense, but sure. Tell us a little bit more about the thinking behind that.
I think that the biggest – there's several benefits, but I think one of them is that you got students who are taking the same classes together who've got the opportunity to, that study partner is right there. That person you're working with on a group project is right there. You're not having to track them down. And so it's people that you know. It's not I think everybody has had a group project in class sometime and thought, man, I'd rather be doing this myself because you don't necessarily know the people in your group. Well, you're living with these people, and so there's that piece there.
Isn't there maybe a bit of a danger having those wild and crazy statistics people living together? I mean, like that?
Well, you know, they're kind of crazy.
But it does seem it's interesting. Academic living communities. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's working out, and you've been doing that for a while.
On our fourth year mm-hmm. or so going in, but they've been very successful. They do vary in what they do. Some of them are set up to where they intentionally schedule the students of the floor in classes together. Others don't focus quite so much on scheduling together, but focus on the out-of-classroom experience, doing more. I know our agricultural sciences floor, the faculty is very involved in terms of actually getting out in the halls and doing programs for those students in those buildings. So,
are the students who are in the academic living communities there because they volunteer to be in them, or is it just part of the deal?
Sure. They sign up to be in them. The catch is that you have to be of an academic major that fits with that given floor. So, unfortunately, if we don't have a floor that covers your major, then you're not eligible for it. But we brought on four of them are new this year. I'm sorry, it was last year, I believe, and I know we've got a couple of departments that are thinking about doing it as well.
Okay, so it may yet be expanded.
Could be.
Of these going.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay, what are some of the other things happening, if there are other things you'd like to tell us about happening in residential halls right
sure.
now?
Sure. I think there's definitely some good things happening on the facility side. This current year, we just finished renovating Franken Hall. It's one of our older high-rises, and It has been pretty much stripped out from top to bottom, added a couple of private bathrooms, so it's all new furniture, carpeting, painting, the whole nine yards. Our students who are there this year are really, really enjoying that. Like us, on a similar front, this upcoming summer, Roberta Hall, which is our sorority hall, it's the oldest residence hall on campus. We're going to pretty much gut the bathrooms, and I know that's something that our students have wanted to have done for a long time. So the good news is that attention is being given and funds are being starting to be provided to be able to do some of the things we needed to do. So it's if you're looking for newer and a little bit more updated, it's a good time to be paying attention to Northwest.
Some of the details about residential life, what's it like to how important is it to find a roommate, the right roommate, and do you help do that?
Sure. I think that for an incoming freshman trying to find a roommate, that can be certainly kind of stressful. I mean, if you think about it, this is someone that you're going to be sharing a very small space with for the next 9 months. And so we have a couple ways of doing it. The first one is we have an online system called RoomSync that allows students to go online. I like to call it Match.com. It's just not for dating. It's for finding a roommate. But you search through profiles, gives you an opportunity to chat with those people online and see if it's somebody you might want a room with. So
it is almost kind of like Match or eHarmony or whatever.
Pretty much.
Or roommates.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So we also have coming up on April 6th our sneak peek event. And that is we're going to allow our incoming freshmen to come up to campus one more time to take a look at the residence halls, because the last week of April they're going to be able to go online and actually pick their room. But as part of that sneak peek event, we'll also be doing some social activities for people who haven't found roommates. It'll give them an opportunity to maybe meet somebody, and who knows, maybe they'll end the day with their roommate. So
it's not only just finding the roommate, they have to find the – and there are different kinds of residential situations. You've mm-hmm. described some of them already.
But sure.
Getting them matched up with their preference. That's mm-hmm. another important part.
Yeah. Our students are able to basically go online. We order them up by the date of that they make a housing prepayment, but they get to go online. It's really a pretty slick system we've got. They actually click on a picture of the campus map, and then it opens up quite literally a picture of the building. They click on a hyperlinked section of the building, the floor. It busts open a floor plan. You can see, is my room a long and narrow one, or is it a wide and not-so-deep room? I mean, and they just click on the picture and the bed they want, so they know exactly where in the building it's going to be.
So is it the surroundings or is it the companions that are most important?
I think it all plays in.
Yeah.
I can't pick just one. I mean, I know from, I work a lot with the admissions people on campus, and we know that if we get you on campus, our odds just went way up of getting you to come to Northwest, because that's one of the first things that once you get on campus and you see them, like, wow, this place is gorgeous. But it's not just that. It's the school spirit in the air. It's Bearcat spirit. I mean, we talk about the Bearcat family. It's not just a tagline. It's something that we mean that extends into the residence halls as well.
Another thing I've heard is, once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat.
Darn
I guess
right.
That's part of it, too. Darn right. Are you a graduate?
No, I'm not. But I have been here since 2005. I thought this was going to be a five-year stop, but it's become home, and I've got no intentions of going anywhere.
Yeah. We're talking with Scott Shields. Scott is Assistant Director of Operations for Residential Life at Northwest Missouri State University. Let's talk a little bit about low-income housing. We talked during the break. You've got some ways of helping low-income students meet their housing costs.
Sure. It's a new service that we're very excited about. We actually, one of our residence halls, North Complex, if anybody's familiar with campus, it used to be the Missouri Academy of Mathematics and Statistics or Science. I always messed the title up, so I apologize to those who attended that school. But with that facility being freed up, this year we allowed our current students who have financial need and need a cheaper place to live to move into that building. And the per semester rate is $2,000, and then the meal plan that goes with that is $699, which compared to the other costs, I think it saves you about $1,500 combined over our next normal lowest combination of housing and meal plan. But the other great thing about that is that we actively work with those students to help them get student employment. And so as a student as a student employee, you can work up to 20 hours a week. And if they apply all that money, you can get your cost of housing and meal plan down really to just a couple hundred dollars out of pocket. And so, I mean, you can't beat that anywhere. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's not saying anything about financial assistance, right? I mean, they can also qualify for that.
They can still qualify for financial assistance. And so, you know, if they've got a scholarship, you know, that might wind up covering just about everything for them. So.
We talked also during the break a little bit about students who are required to live on campus. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Sure. Our incoming freshmen generally are required to live on campus. There are a couple of exceptions. Students who are married, 21 years of age, or older, and then also students who live in town. I believe it's a 60-mile radius that if you live within that, then you can apply to live off campus. But to be perfectly honest, you know, we definitely recommend our students live on campus. And the major reason for that is that when we pull the numbers from GPAs, hands down, students who live on campus have higher GPAs, and it's not just a couple of points. It's noticeable.
What are some of the reasons why that would be true?
I think, I speaking from my own experience, I remember living in the halls, and I know that, sometimes they can be loud and rambunctious. But I also remember when you walk down the hallway, you saw students studying and doing their homework. And so, you know, I don't know if peer pressure is the right word for it, but there was, you know, it was going on. And so it kind of reminds you, oh, I need to get that done. But I think that also, we talked earlier about our academic living communities, you're right there with people that you're having classes with, whereas if you're off campus, you know, making arrangements to get together could be a touch more challenging. Your classmates are out of sight, out of mind. And
you'd mentioned earlier about by the time you get to be maybe a senior, you're really kind of looking forward to that off-campus life. But and you did mention just now some of the differences between on-campus and off-campus. Are there other things that actually play into that and make living on-campus kind of a better thing altogether?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine if I talked to every student who's living off-campus right now, the first thing that they would say is they didn't have to dig their car out to come to class in the morning. So yeah. With the amount of snow, I got a hunch that probably has played in a little bit to our numbers ticking up for next year, but that's okay. But beyond that, I think some things that students don't think about is that financial aid can pay for your on-campus housing and meal plan. It does not pay your rent off-campus. And so, you know, I think students definitely need to think about how they're applying that piece of it. You know, we talked a little bit about the grades piece.
I just think that, it just makes sense. Fewer distractions if you're living on campus. You don't have to worry about transportation, paying the bills and stuff like that.
That's the one I wanted to mention. I just blanked there for a second. But as far as bills go, when you live on campus, everything is included, and that includes electric, if not I know Forest Village has gas, but internet. We actually have an on-campus movie service, similar to Netflix. It's all included, and so you're not paying those monthly bills. It's you write your check once and you're done for the semester.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about how your staff works with students to help them succeed.
Mm-hmm. What our staff does is that we are not necessary. Our staff is trained in a variety of different topics from mental health and programming and academic tips, but it's a minimal training because it covers such a variety of stuff. I really think that our strength in helping students is by acting as a referral source to other services on campus. If we have a student who is having issues with anxiety or depression, we're going to get them to the professionals over at the Wellness Center to chat with the counselors. If they're having difficulty finding with a particular class, we've met up with the people from the Student Success Center who can get them in touch with tutors and that sort of thing. And so I think our benefit is because we've got just a little bit of knowledge out of every area on campus, when a student has a particular need, we can get them to the person. And we'll go with them. We'll walk over there with them and say, hey, this is so-and-so. They've got this issue. We know you can help us out. Can we sit down and chat?
You can also provide some leadership opportunities for students.
Sure. We offer a variety of opportunities. Probably the most visible portion of that is our in-hall resident assistants. These are the students who live on the floor with with our students, and they are doing everything from helping to build community to policy enforcement. They also work at the front desk, so a lot of times they're the first face that the students see when they come in. We also have our bridge position, which is don't ask me what the acronym is, but it's a diversity related position that helps students meet and interact with students from other cultures and backgrounds, those sorts of things. But on top of that, we also have our Residence Hall Association, and this is a group of students that it's not part of our student staff, but think of it as hall council type of an organization, but it branches over the entire Residence Hall campus. But these students will put on events. I know each year they tend to get a big group together to go down to a Royals game, or sometimes they'll go up to the Omaha Zoo, and they'll help subsidize part of that cost for students to make those trips happen. But I think one of the neat things about it is that those groups also have some say on to how campus runs, and probably the best example I give is that Aramark, which is our campus dining provider, they will periodically come in to RHA meetings and just ask the students, hey, how are we doing? And they truly do listen to the feedback. And so, you know, if students want to have a voice into everything from policy to what are we having for dinner next week, I mean, there's absolutely opportunities to have your voice heard, and RHA really helps facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. Does living on campus also put you closer to campus events that are, say, not academic, but concerts and other things? It just makes it easier to be a part of that?
It really does. We do a survey every few years of students who live off campus, and it's I don't remember numbers, but the results are always very clear. Students who live on campus feel more connected to the campus community. They know more what's going on. You know, when you live in the residence halls, we've got flyers up. There's TVs that are advertising events. That's not happening at your home off campus. And so it's much easier to know what's going on. Plus, if you're sitting around and a group is heading off to an event, they may grab you on the way, too. And that's certainly that camaraderie community really helps get you involved.
Scott Shields is Assistant Director of Operations for Residential Life at Northwest Missouri State University. Scott, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Great to talk with you. Mm-hmm.